Welcome to Turnaround Church. We're so excited that you decided to join us, whether you're joining us live Sunday morning at 11:15, or if you're watching the replay at any time throughout history. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whenever you're watching, we are glad that you've taken the time to watch. Hang on. We've got a good, awesome message for you here in a second. But first of all, I want to welcome you, and I want to say if you would do us the honor of going to our website, turnaround.church, and click the I'm New card. That's the second one down. Fill that out. That's our e-connection card. And so we'd ask that to do a favor for us and do that so we can have a record of your visit. We want to reach out to you and thank you for watching and make ourselves available to you and that sort of thing. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. And so we're glad to have you with us. The rest of us in the house here, we are enjoying ourselves this morning. All right, well, we started 2 weeks ago, we started a new series called Build, Plant, Live. And what I did was is I took Jeremiah 29:11, and we're so familiar. That's such a familiar passage of Scripture to us because everybody, whenever they're feeling kind of low, loves to quote, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And we just take, I mean, somebody gave us a housewarming gift, and it's a little plaque with its cross-stitched, that Jeremiah 29:11 is cross-stitched in it. There's mugs and all kinds of stuff. And then I've heard people say, well, we're taking it out of context, and it doesn't apply to us, just apply to the Israelites back then and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, well, let's just look and see. So I got to looking in the context, and it's odd because what Jeremiah is doing is he is writing a prophecy. He's writing out a prophecy from God to those that are in exile in Babylon, those from Judah who are in exile in Babylon, and he's telling them, okay, y'all there for a reason. It's going to be 70 years. So then my first sermon was, why are you there? Since you're going to be there a while, let's do this. And so we started reading on what you're supposed to do. And so last week, Pastor Leah did a tremendous job talking about in verse 5, the A part of verse 5, it says, build houses and live in them. And so she did a sermon titled Houses and Homes. And she had a tweetable quote that said, houses are made of boards and beams, and homes are made of hopes and dreams. And so I tweeted that. So that was a good one. So we learned that God wants them to set up house. He wants them to plan for being there a while. He wants them not to sit around waiting. You know, we want to get out of situations. Sometimes we're in situations, and they were in this situation because of their disobedience to God, because they were doing evil, being evil in God's eyes. And so God had sent them to exile. Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had taken them captive. They were in exile. They could do live their normal way of life. They weren't slaves, so they could do their normal way of life, but they couldn't do any of the sacrifices or anything. So most scholars believe that this is when the synagogue system was started, was while they were in exile, because they couldn't do the sacrifices, so they had to come up with prayers to replace the sacrifices. So that's when the synagogue system came to be. So anyway, she did that. And so this week, I want to continue on with the B portion of that verse 5. And he said to plant gardens and eat their produce. To plant gardens and eat their produce. And so I want to talk on the subject of bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. And I don't know if you've ever heard this before. I've heard it all my life. Bloom where you're planted. In fact, I did a research because I wanted to find out if this was somewhere in the Bible, because I'd heard it so much. Well, I found an article in Christianity Today by Danielle Burnock. It says, is bloom where you're planted in the Bible, its origin and meaning? So she says, the phrase bloom where you were planted gets thrown around a lot. Many think it's originated from the Bible, and others know that that's not true. The sentiment can be found in Scripture, but not the exact words. An American graphic artist and illustrator made the famous with her book, Mary Engelbreit, The Art and Artist, but she didn't originate the phrase. However, an American radio broadcaster, Paul Harvey, I don't know if you've ever heard him, now the rest of the story. I loved Paul Harvey growing up. He used the phrase a decade before Mary's book. Yet he was not the originator either. So where did it come from? Well, bloom where you're planted has a similar origin to the Celtic cross. We only know some things and cannot confirm others. Bloom where you are planted can mean various things depending on its usage. She goes on to say the three meanings of bloom where you're planted. Number one, to be fruitful or blossom, become all you were created to be. Number two, make the best of what you have when life throws lemons at you. And number three, do what's right even when it's hard. So she began at number one, be fruitful. Now, St. Francis de Sales, he was the Bishop of Geneva at the time, he is quoted as saying, truly, charity has no limit, for the love of God has been poured into our hearts by his Spirit dwelling in each of us, calling us to a life of devotion and inviting us to bloom in the garden where he has planted and directed us to radiate the beauty and spread the fragrance of his providence. So as you can see, it's not a direct quote, but the idiom carries the same meaning. So he said that. So she goes on to say, I believe the words of St. Francis de Sales were inspired by the words from the Bible. In the book of Genesis, it says, after God created Adam and Eve, he blessed them and told them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. That's Genesis 1:28. Scripture and other writings encourage us to be all God has made us to be. So number two, make the best of life. Using the phrase in this way encourages resilience. Sometimes life is hard. Things don't always go according to plan. Even in less than wonderful situations, we have control over how we respond. Blooming where we are planted is to make the choice to respond in a positive manner in its agreement with another familiar phrase about making lemonade when life throws you lemons. So then she references our theme scriptures. When many Israelites were exiled to Babylon, they were in a less than wonderful situation, but God told them in a way to bloom where they were planted for that time. And I'm going to read Jeremiah 29:4-7. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty, God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Number three, third meeting, do what's right. Doing what's right when it's hard is hard. Perhaps that's why Paul gives this instruction in 1 Corinthians 7:20-24, which in another place we find the sentiment of blooming where you're planted. Now, this passage does not sanction human slavery, especially in the way slavery was practiced in the West during the 17th through the 19th centuries. Instead, this passage is a call to honor God above all men. So 1 Corinthians 7:20-24 says, each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when God called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person are responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. So Danielle goes on to say, bloom where you're planted doesn't mean to stay stuck. She says, blooming where you're planted doesn't mean you can't improve or must stay stuck in an awful place. Let me remind you of the line above, if you can gain your freedom, do so. The Bible is full of words encouraging us to grow and change. There are times to bloom where we are planted and times for us to be transplanted so we can bloom even better elsewhere. Just follow the Lord where he leads. That was in Christianity Today. We are to bloom where we are. My dad always said, do what God told you to do last until he tells you to do something new. People say, I don't know what the will of God. I don't know what the will of God is. Well, what was the last thing he told you to do? Do that. And do it well. That's the thing about it. When God tells you to do something, He expects us to do it with all of our might. He expects us to do it with all of our heart. We may not be in an ideal situation, but I'm here to tell you, when you're in a less than ideal situation and you bloom where you're planted, God will honor that. God honors our faithfulness even though situations get hard and things get tough. I'm trying to think of the book I read, and it's a book. It's called The Meaning, Man's Search for Meaning. And all of a sudden, I can't remember the guy's name. But it was written by a Jewish gentleman that was in the concentration camps. And he made it a practice. He said, listen, I cannot control what happens around me. I can control my response to it. He said, what I do is I look for meaning. When I know that I have meaning, I have a purpose, and then I can, whatever happens to me, I can look beyond that to know that I still have a purpose and I still have a meaning. So we can still look beyond where we are. Viktor Frankl. There we go. Viktor Frankl. And I've read that book 3 times, and I forgot all of a sudden while I was talking. I was trying to remember. Anyway, but it's Man's Search for Meaning. If you ever get a chance to read the book, it is an awesome book to read. It's so inspiring. However, what we ought to understand is when he's telling us here, when Jeremiah is writing the prophecy and God's telling those in exile to plant gardens, he's telling them, set down roots. You're going to be there 70 years. Some of you may not ever leave there because they were at a certain age that in 70 years they'll be dead anyway. And some of them will just have been born, and they'll come out of that older people. And some of them will be midlife. Some of them, you never know. And so God says, listen, I want you to set down roots. And so by telling them to plant gardens, he's telling them, you're going to stay a while. How many know when you plant something, you don't then leave the country for good? I grew up around the farming community in Prosper, Texas. I graduated high school in Prosper, Texas. The population on the city limit sign said 701 when I graduated high school. There were 283 kids, kindergarten through 12th grade in our school. One building, 3 different wings. So it was a very small school, but it was a farming community. You can imagine with a name like Prosper how it was called, it was going to be very prosperous. In fact, that's where they did the name. I did my senior thesis on where they got the name of the town. But I understood that, like wheat, when they planted wheat, that it takes 7 to 8 months for wheat to mature. So when they plant wheat, they don't then say, okay, I'm going to sell the property, I'm just going to move along. Because they know that they planted it, and they've got to wait a while. They're going to be there a while. And there are things they've got to do in the meantime. While that wheat's growing up, they've got to do that sort of stuff. In fact, when they planted cotton, my brother and friend of his worked for a farmer. One summer in, I believe it's between his junior and senior year or sophomore and junior year, I can't remember. And they worked for a farmer, and the farmer sent them out to hoe weeds in the cotton. Several days they would go out there, and he said, we were $6.50 an hour hoers. Anyway, he thought that was funny. I thought it was funny too. But anyway, so you have to tend that stuff. You have to get the weeds out. You have to take care of it. When you plant a garden, you got to tend it. Corn, it takes 90 to 120 days before it ever germinates. Before you ever see anything come out of the ground, it takes 90 to 120 days depending on the temperature of the soil. So we're planting, and God says, look, you need to put down roots. You're going to be there a while. Don't sit around and say, man, I'd be glad when we're out of here. I'll be glad when we're out of here. I mean, I grew up with that in church. All of our songs were, we're just weary pilgrims. We're just in this weary land. We can't wait to get out of here. We just can't wait to get out of here. We can't wait to get out of here. And all the time, people are dying and going to hell, and you're not doing your job, because when we get saved, our job then is to reach out to those that are lost and bring in the sheaves. As an old hymn said, bringing in the sheaves. Jesus said, look, the harvest is ripe, it's plentiful. And many are called, but few are chosen. He said, listen, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send harvesters. And so we have looked at life with this escapist mentality, like, we just got to get out of here. We got ourselves, and the thing is we want to go to, we're going to get ourselves saved so we can go to heaven. We got to get saved so we can go to heaven. And then we just focus on going to heaven. Well, the thing is that's just that's the promise. When you're saved, you're going to heaven. You got the ticket. You're gone. You're going. You don't have to try to go to heaven. You're going. But what you're supposed to do in between the time you get the ticket and then you leave this earth is you're supposed to make disciples of nations. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say you shall be those standing around trying to get out of here, doing rapture practice. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. He said, listen, you are to be my disciples. You are to make disciples of all nations. And one of the things that I thought about, when you work in the soil, when you put your hands in the soil, growing up we had a garden, about a quarter of an acre garden that we had. And my dad, that's what my dad's therapy. He would take a tiller and he'd get out there and he'd till that rascal. And he'd be out there, and that's where he did his praying. That's where he did it. He loved it. He was out there, and he would just be out there, and he's just doing this right here. But he's just praying, and he's working that ground. He loved that. I didn't love it that much. I loved the fruit, but I didn't love the work. But we had the garden. And the thing is when you work the soil, and when you strategize over it, and you toil over it, and you work all the stuff, you become connected to that land. You become connected to it. God is saying, listen, plant a garden. Become connected to where you are. Because when we're connected to something, we're going to invest in it. We're going to invest in that. Now see, that garden that we had growing up, it wasn't our land. We were living on someone else's land. We originally lived at another place, but the lady's husband died. And so the family asked us if we would move buy a mobile home and put it behind her house and live on the property and kind of look after her. And it was a wealthy family, but they wanted us to help look after her. Well, it was her property. And it was right behind her. The garden was right behind her house. And every time Dad would try to go out there, she'd come out there with her little bonnet on and she'd come out there and try to supervise. But the thing is we were invested into that. Because, see, we snapped peas and we ate tomatoes and we ate onions and we had all kinds of stuff, okra. I mean, we had everything out of there. And we were investing in it because we had our hands in that soil and we had our hands in it. So God said, listen, you need to invest in it. You need to connect with this land. You're here because you were disobeying me. But while you're here because of what you did. But God says, while you're there, and think about this in your own situation, if you're in a situation where it's less than ideal, if something in your life is not perfect, if it's not the way you want it, listen, God says, while you're there, don't wish your life away. Don't get short-timer's disease. I'll be on a missions trip, and I'll have done my last meeting, and I may have a day or so before I leave, and I get short-timer's. I'm ready to go. You can ask my wife. When I'm done with my last service, I'm ready to go. I don't want to mess around doing anything else. I just want to get gone. And all I have to do is I'm waiting around till my plane leaves. And when I have a task, when I have an assignment, and I'm done with that thing, the hardest thing hardest thing for me to do is stick around till it's time to leave. Even though I'm done where I am. It's hard for me. So I get that short timers thing. I got to get out. I got to get out. And I got to figure out how I can get out. But God says, listen, I want you to connect where you're land, connect to the land. Now see, there's a blessing for planting where you're planted. There's a blessing for planting where you're planted. Genesis chapter 26, verses start 1 through 6 and then 12 through 14. Says a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abram's time. So Isaac, this is Abraham's son, Isaac moved to Gerar, which where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. So the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Don't go to Egypt, but do as I tell you. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to count how many times God said, I will. So that goes on to say, live here as a foreigner in this land, and one, I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will, two, give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. I will, three, cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. How many recognize that? That's what he told Abraham. Next verse. I will, five, do this because Abraham, his father, listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Five times, I'm going to pause right there. Five times he said, I will. Five in Scripture is the number of grace. Five is also God's kindness and favor to humanity. God said, I will, if you will stay where I put you, stay where you are. Don't run to Egypt like your daddy did. In fact, one of the places he said, your dad ran off to Egypt and got himself in trouble. Don't go to Egypt like your daddy did. You stay right here and you do what I tell you. And he said, five times, I will. So grace was on him. So then we go on. And it says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. Listen, he was there because there was a famine. He was there because there was a famine, and he had to move to this place where it wasn't his land. However, God says, I'm going to give it to you. So he planted his crops in that year, harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the people, he was living in their land, and he became so prosperous that they got jealous of him. It was a famine in the land, and he planted, and he reaped 100-fold. In the famine, in a place where he wasn't originally living. He went there because there was a famine, and he planted there. He did what God told him to do, and God blessed him. And he made him so rich that the peoples, that the land he was on, got jealous. Reminds me of when the children of Israel went to Egypt, because Joseph was in Egypt, and they went to get Isaac and his family, or Jacob and his family, all went to Egypt because there was food there. And so the Pharaoh said, y'all can go take Goshen. Y'all can live in Goshen, and that's the most plush land because that's where you can take your herds. And the thing is they began to prosper so much that a Pharaoh rose up that did not know Joseph, and he became jealous of the Israelites because of their prosperity and thinking, they're going to grow so big, they're going to take us over. And so they began to oppress them. See, the thing is you are to be, and they were there because of a famine. They didn't plan to move there. They were living where they thought they were supposed to live. But they moved to Goshen because of a famine, but they prospered where they were. God says, listen, doesn't matter where you are. It does not matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter what circumstances are in your life. You will prosper if you will just obey my voice. If you will trust me and learn to lean on me and learn to do what I've asked you to do and follow my leading, I will bless you so much that people will begin to look at you and say, what's going on here? What's going on here? Isaac reaped 100 times what he sowed in the middle of a famine. See, God can do those things. God can make things happen. The scripture says that he can make rivers in the desert. He makes a way where there is no way. He brings mountains down and he brings valleys up. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Because he's God. He made a roadway in the wilderness for 3 million people. He made a highway through the middle of a sea because 3 million people need to get on the other side. Yes. Listen, when you are in less than ideal circumstances, when things in your life don't seem like they're they're perfect. When you it's like, this is not how I envisioned my life being. Listen, you don't have to worry about it. You just follow what God's asked you to do. Do what he told you to do while you're there, while you're in that situation, and he's going to turn it. He's going to bless you while you're there. And then he told Isaac, he said, listen, I'm going to give you that land. Then he reiterated the promise that he had told Abraham, and I'm going to make your descendants as many as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. Your descendants are going to be so blessed that they're going to bless the nations. That's exactly what he told Abraham, Isaac's daddy. And he was in Gerar because there was a famine, and he had to move there. Listen, we have got to learn to understand God is for us. Joseph, oh my goodness, Joseph. Joseph was in less than ideal circumstances. Okay? Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. He was the favored son of his father. The favored son. You're not supposed to have favorites, but he had favorites. And all his brothers knew it because he had a fancy coat to prove it. And he treated him different because he was the firstborn of his favorite wife. And so they sold him into slavery. So he went from the favored to the enslaved. And the scripture says, but God was with Joseph. Less than ideal situation. Less than ideal circumstances. But what did Joseph do? He just began to operate in his anointing. And do what he does. And he did it for Potiphar. For Pharaoh's captain of the guard. He did it for him. It wasn't for his daddy, because he was watching sheep for his daddy. That was his inheritance. But now he's over here watching somebody else's, taking care of somebody else's business. But what does he do? He operates in his anointing, and he makes that guy prosper. And he does well, so the guy puts him in charge of everything except his wife. And what happens? The wife wanted Joseph because he was successful. He was a good-looking kid, and he was anointed, and he was successful. Even though he was a slave, she still wanted him. So what happened was, he refused her, and he got put into prison again. He wasn't in prison, but he got put into prison. He went from slavery to imprisonment. What did he do? He operated in his anointing. He was a favored son, then he was a slave. Then he went from a slave that's in charge of everything to be imprisoned. And then he operated in his anointing there. And what happens? He ends up being the prime minister of Egypt. He could never have seen that happen. God gave him a dream, but he couldn't see how that was going to happen. So I'm here to tell you, when we do what God calls us to do, when we operate in the anointing that God has given us, when we bloom where we were planted, when God has us in a situation, whether it's of our own fault or because somebody else did something or whatever, it doesn't matter why it happened. Because you're there, God can still bless you there. See, it's all about trust. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 said, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. This is going to sound really familiar to you. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. When we trust in the Lord, when we trust God with all of our heart, and lean not to our own understandings, in Proverbs it says that, when we trust God, we will reap a harvest in a place of famine. It will be like a tree that's roots are planted into the streams that our leaf will never wither. Amen? And whatever we do, it'll prosper. Bless you, Lord. Trusting God with your circumstance is what we have to do. Whether they're good circumstances, we got to trust God with our good circumstances too. When things are going good, That's when we got to trust God then too. We've got to rely on God then. We've got to follow His voice there. We've got to operate in our knowing there. But then when things are bad, we do the same thing. When things are comfortable and when things are uncomfortable. We are to lean on God. We are to trust in Him. And He said, I will, if you will plant where you are, if you'll bloom where you're planted, I will prosper you. I will cause things to happen on your behalf that will not normally happen. I will supersede what naturally happens because of the fact that I honor and I love my beloved. So we can have that in our life. We can do that in our life if we trust God with where we are. But see, the first thing we've got to trust God with is our life. See, we can't trust God with everything else. We can't do all these other things that I've been talking about until we have trusted God with our life. That's the first thing you got to do. And listen, I'm here to tell you, it is so. He is standing at the door and knocking. He is waiting for you. He is wanting you to come into relationship with Him so He can make a way for you. Listen, He's not an escape hatch, but He's the way up. He's not the way out, He's the way up. But if you're this morning, under the sound of my voice, if you have not trusted God with your life, if you have not trusted God with your life, and you're in less than ideal circumstances, you're in terrible situation, and you want to lean on God, you want to trust Him with all of this. You want to do what He says to do. If you want all that, you must trust Him with your life. And it is so simple, and I want to help you do that this morning. I can help you do that because God has sent me this morning to say, there is a way. There is a way. And for those of you that are either in the building this morning or if you're online, watching online, doesn't matter if you're watching live or if you're watching years from now. See, God doesn't live in time. God is not limited by time. See, there's a reason why you're watching this video. If it's 10 years from today, there's a reason why you're watching this video, because God has appointed it. God has ordained that you watch it because He wants to reach out to you. He wants you to hear this message. He wants you to understand it. And if that's you today, if that's you right now, and you want to do that, you want to trust God with your life, just repeat this simple prayer after me. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just right where you are, whether if you're driving, it doesn't matter. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but wherever you are, with a sincere heart, just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Listen, if you said that prayer, you and God will have a lot more to talk about. There'll be a lot more conversations you'll have with Him. There'll be a lot more opportunities for Him to speak into your life. But right now, He's saying, welcome. Welcome. If you prayed that prayer, He is welcoming you like a father of the long-lost son. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And He has wrapped His arms around you and is embracing you. And He is, I'm finally able to help you. I'm finally able to help you. And listen, if that was you, that you prayed that prayer, go to our website, turnaround.church, and go all the way to the bottom and click the box that says, I just received Jesus. That's where it currently is. It may reside somewhere else when you watch this. But just go to our website and find the link that says, I just received Jesus, and fill out that information. Listen, fill out that information and include your mailing address. And we will send you a book. We'll drop ship a book called 10 Steps Toward Christ. And it's a next steps book. It's a book to help you know what to do next, what to do in your journey. And listen, we're developing resources. We're developing discipleship teachings that we can set up to be emailed to you, so you can have a teaching every week that you can follow. We're developing those right now, but we want to send you this book as right now as a way of reaching out to you and partnering with you in your journey. So if you'll do that, turnaround.church, I just received Jesus, and we'll drop ship that book to you. And so we're glad that you made that decision. We are so happy that you made that decision because now you're part of our family. Now you are in the family and God is on your side. And as you'll hear later, if God's on your side, you don't have anything else to worry about. Don't have anything to fear. Not that you won't have anything happen, but you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry about it. So listen, you've started this brand new life. And listen, we as children of God, as the family of God, part of what we do is we follow the nature of God in being generous. And we give of our tithes and our offering. And I want to be able to help you do that. We want to facilitate that. So those of you in the house, there's a giving receptacle back in the foyer. There's envelopes and pens back there. You can put your check or cash in there. Put your name and the amount on there so that we can have record of it. That way you can give tax credit at the end of the year. If you're not here and you're watching like you're watching on Facebook, if you'll go to our Facebook page and click the Shop Now button, then that'll take you to our giving platform, and then you fill out a few pieces of information and you'll be able to give that way. Or if you just want to go to our website, go to the website turnaround.church, go to the giving tab, again, fill out a few pieces of information, and you'll be able to give that way as well. You can use your credit or debit card, do an ACH, however you want to do that. The easiest way and the way most of us give is we go to our messaging app on our cell phone, we go to our messaging app, and we fill in the dollar amount, just the dollar amount, no symbols, no words, just the dollar amount, and we text that to 84321. 84321, it's on your screen there, and you'll receive a link, select Turnaround Church as the church you want to contribute to, fill out the few pieces of information that they require, and that way you can give. And the cool thing is, the next time you want to give, you just put the dollar amount in there, text it to 84321, and the next thing you receive is a link to the receipt. And it's just that easy. It takes 10 seconds to give after that. So that's how most of us do it. Now, we have had several people that actually have wanted to give through Venmo. And so I said, okay, so we created a Venmo account for the church. So our handle is at Turnaround Church, and you can go through Venmo and give that way. No problem. We've got it set up. We want to help you out. And now if you want to do it old school, if you want to get a stamp and an envelope and you want to put that check in there, money order, it's P.O. Box 1506, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. It's on the screen in front of you there. P.O. Box 1506, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. If you don't get it before it goes off the screen, go to our website, turnaround.church, and it's on the footer of every page, on the bottom of every page, and it's there. Listen, we're excited that you've joined us, that you've been with us this far. If you want to participate in giving, you want to help support what's going on here, God's going to bless you. We know He is. We're praying for you. We're believing for you. We're standing for each one of you. I'm asking God to bless each and every one. In fact, I'm going to speak a blessing over you before we go. And I know God's going to touch your life. Listen, we just saw how God said if you'll trust Him, if you'll trust Him, He will bless you. If you trust Him. He told Isaac, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'm going to do these things. These five things I'm going to do. And so this is what God, so if you want to receive the blessings, you'll put yourself in a receptive posture. And I speak the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May you know that if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is on your side, whom shall you fear? May you be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water that your leaf will not wither. And whatever you do, it shall prosper. I declare it in the name of Jesus. See you guys next time.